This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis coming out once again, riding Old Dan, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Many of you folks are familiar with the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Many of you may not be. This is God's message, an old-time, old-fashioned gospel message from the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, where the Reverend L.R. Shelton, Pastor L.R. Shelton, was a founder and pastor here for many, many years, and now he's gone on to be with the Lord, and we picked up this Old Trailblazer broadcast and bringing it to you day by day. We own about 40 stations now, and if you'd like to have a log of those stations, you write me, and I'll be glad to send it to you. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. We're bringing you a series of studies now on the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is a gracious study. So many of our folks are afraid to take on the book of Revelation, as they call it, because they don't understand it. Many, many years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years ago, Pastor Shelton brought a series of studies on the Revelation, and I'm using his notes and outlines because he was a very gracious man. He had much knowledge of the Scripture, far more than I'll ever know. So I'm using his notes and outlines, and I'm just an old country boy the Lord picked up and saved. So you bear with me, if you will. I butcher the King's English sometimes, and surely I make mistakes. But I'm bringing you, thus saith the Lord. In our last study there, we were just getting started, and we're looking at John, the Apostle John, there on the Isle of Patmos. And he heard the voice said, "John, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." The names of those seven distinct local New Testament churches were Ephesus, which where the Apostle John had been the pastor, then Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, when John turned around, he saw one like unto the Son of Man, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or lampstands. In the 20th verse, he says that the seven candlesticks or lampstand which John saw are the seven churches. Here is set forth God's idea of what the church ought to be. John said he saw seven golden lampstands. Gold is a precious metal which shows how God values his people. The world and the unsaved religionists may call born-again ones, God's children, a bunch of cranks, crackpots, specklebird, accuse them of being mad, but thank the Lord that Christ, to him, they are precious. Did you know you are precious in the sight of God if you are one of his own? Oh, listen, we have been redeemed by his blood. We are indwelt by his Spirit. To us who are saved, we are golden. We are delivered by divine power. He looks upon his children as complete in himself, precious and glorious. The Apostle John said he beheld one like the Son of Man. Yes, the Son of Man. The vision that John saw was that of the glorified Son of Man. My friend, let me call your attention to this great fact. When the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back to heaven from Mount Olivet, he took up with him his humanity, his resurrected body. And now we have in glory at the right hand of God, the man, Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, he was, as the Son of Man, a prophet. Then, as the Son of Man in glory, he is a priest, as our high priest, who, having been tempted in all points like we are, and yet he's able to succor those who are tempted. According to Hebrews 4:15 and 16, he is our high priest. When he comes again, he will come as the Son of Man to reign as king. And being the Son of Man, all judgment is committed into his hands, according to Acts 17:30-31, and then John 5:22. I hope you'll get your Bible and follow along with us. Now we're going to look at those seven the sevenfold glory of God revealed. I want you to pay close attention. Let's look there in that 13th verse and see how this glorified Son of God, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the head of the church, the believer's high priest, how he was dressed. John saw him clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the breast with a golden girdle. The high priest was always girded around the waist, signifying service. But the girdle here was over the shoulder and around the breast, which is the insignia of the office of a judge. As the judge, the glorified Son of God stood in the midst of the churches. Now let's notice the sevenfold glory revealed. Let's look there. Would you let me slow down a moment? Take my time and go into this carefully. First, his head and his hair were like wool, white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they turned or burned in a furnace. His voice as a sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Here we have 7 points to which our attention is called. His head, his hair, his eyes, his feet, his voice, his hand, his mouth, and his countenance, or his face. John said, when he beheld this glorified Son of God, I saw his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, which signifies authority and purity. This reminds us of Daniel's vision as the Ancient of Days. We might say it signified age, yet we cannot couple age with the Eternal One. If we think of him as the Son of Man, it would signify experience and wisdom. But let us not forget that the risen, exalted, glorified Son of Man, who will stand yonder at the close of the day of grace as judge, is also the Ancient of Days, the Everlasting Father, as well as the Prince of Peace. As we look upon him in his might and his majesty standing there in the midst of the churches, we want to fall at his feet and cry, my Lord, my God, how precious he is to the heart of every believer. My friend, let me ask you, is he precious to you? Is he precious to you as this broadcast goes out, whether it be morning, noon, or night? Is the Lord precious to you? I often ask my congregation here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers, can you lay down at night on your good bed, soft bed the Lord has provided for you? First of all, do you thank the Lord for all of the things he has done for you? Believer, do you thank the Lord? We're living in a day now of unthankfulness, aren't we? No one is thankful. But when you lay down at night, maybe you turn your light out and look up. Can you say, thank you, Lord, for saving a poor old soul like me? And then I asked my folks here, I said, when you wake up in the morning early, whether it be early, I get up early. I get up here to the office about 6:30 every morning, come early and open the mail, and have time to be alone before the office workers all get here. But I sit on the side of the bed for a moment or two, and I just put my feet on the warm carpet in the winter and the cool carpet in the summer, and I say, thank you, Lord, for a good night's sleep. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the old trailblazer to get up once again. Wake up breathing. Did you know I've known folks who lay down at night and never woke up? Oh, I wonder where their soul went. Were they prepared? Did they ask the Lord before they lay down, Lord, may my soul rest with thee? But would you do that? Would you begin now in the mornings as you get up, put your feet on the floor and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to wake anybody up. I get up, leave my wife sleeping in the bed, go make coffee and bring it to her after a while. But listen, those gracious eyes, we want to look at the rest of those features there. We'll get started in it at this time. Those gracious eyes that had often been dimmed by tears when he spent all night up on the mountainside, I want you to look at our Lord here. I brought a message recently on the tenderness of our blessed Lord, and I want you to look at him with me. Look there in those precious eyes. When he stood there by the side of Lazarus' tomb, his tears ran down his face. Or, seated there on Mount Olive, he wept over the city of Jerusalem. You know that verse it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather her chicks, but ye would not. Don't you know the tears streamed down our Lord's face there? Oh, as he wept over the city, or maybe as he wept over individuals. Now we see those eyes as a blame, burning flame of fire. When our Lord was on earth walking among men, those eyes read the hearts of men and women, even to their uttermost thoughts, and the soldiers could not stand the gaze of those piercing eyes. Here we see as he sits as a judge of men, with eyes as a flame of fire, penetrating to the very hearts of men as they stand before him, realizing there is nothing hid. How many times have we come into his presence and had those piercing eyes search out, reveal, make known the secret sins, the hidden thoughts, the corrupt spots laying bare on our heart until we fell before him, confessing all of our sins? How often, awakened sinner, have you realized there is nothing hidden from the all-seeing eyes of the Son of Man, which leads them to fall at the feet of our blessed Lord, crying for mercy? Have you ever done that? You say, Pastor, what is an awakened sinner? I often stop and tell folks, the Lord has given us here an awakening ministry. The Holy Spirit meets with us. It goes out, accompanies the message that we bring day by day, and it broods over lost souls and awakens them, penetrates those hardened hearts with the gospel. And we call them awakened sinners. But I asked you, have you ever seen yourself as a sinner? Have you ever taken your place as a lost sinner before the Lord, giving him all the glory and taking all the blame? And folks ask me sometimes, Pastor, what is repentance? What do you mean by repentance? And I simply say, taking the blame. Every repentant sinner takes the blame for his sin. Have you ever done that, my friend? Or did you just join the church? Did you just make a decision for Jesus? My friend, that's not worth a snap of your fingers. Don't let anybody tell you that that's salvation. No, it's a trick of Satan. Oh, my friend, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Have the old things passed away in your life, my friend? Have they? Can you look back and say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming a poor soul like me? Oh, my friend, I asked you that in kindness and sympathy and in love to your soul. The old trailblazer is concerned about your soul. I wish you would think much about your soul. Would you think about the old trailblazer next time you go to prayer and just pray for the old trailblazer? Ask the Lord, Lord, would you just bless the old trailblazer? Hold him up, give him strength. He's getting to be an old man now. Oh, would you just ask the Lord for me? And then, if you will, remember my mailing address. It's the old trailblazer, Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. If you would, help me with the broadcast. I often ask you, go out there in the backyard, dig up that old coffee can, old syrup bucket, and get me $100 bills out of there, $100 bill, and send it to me before the termites get to it. And if you would, pray for me. Pray for me and write me, and I'll send you a log of all these stations. You may have a neighbor, a friend, or a loved one that's in some city where the old trailblazer's there every day. Goodbye, and God bless you.
This month, Radio Missions is offering a new flash drive containing the original Old Trailblazer broadcasts as presented by Pastor L.R. Shelton in the early days of the ministry. These flash drives contain over 100 historic messages with sound effects. Each flash drive is $15 postpaid. For information, call the church office at 225-664-8658. That's 225-664-8658.